This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Process number one, do auctions fall in the category of increasing the price without intention of buying? Sometimes we see this happening where the auction benefits of a good cause. So charity auctions are fine. There's nothing wrong with that because everybody wants to give and give generously, inshallah. Are you encouraging people to give more? That's okay. But when it comes to buying merchandise and buying items, if you have no intention of buying it, then don't even try to bid on it. But overbidding just for the sake of hurting the other person because, you know, I'm just going to hurt the competition, I'm going to make him pay more, that's not acceptable, that's not allowed. If a prophet at 10 goes 20 times more for something, but this is the norm, is that considered okay? Like, you get something $10, and normally, for that particular item, the profit is 20 times more. And that's usually the normal thing. They give an example, if you buy in bulk from China, for example, the manufacturer, it costs them maybe 2 cents, 5 cents probably. Forget about the ethical aspect of sweatshops and all the stuff and so on. That's a different story, Yani. But saying if it's a legitimate business, and they make it for 5 cents. By the time it arrives at your door, it's for $1. Can you sell it for $10? Can you sell it for $20? The answer is yes. Like we said, as long as it's not essential products, should be okay, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Is mandatory tip allowed for a restaurant owner? Mandatory tip? Yeah, you have to tip. If you're going to eat there, you have to tip the waiter, yani? I don't know. I mean, who's obliged to pay the tip? Is it... Unless you're talking about when you have it already being put in the price itself. So you receive basically your bill and it has everything is already included. So in that case, would that be considered acceptable? Actually, Islamically speaking, no. Unless it's a common knowledge, you know that you need to pay for the service as well too. And they tell you that it's going to be included. So it's a kind of like a mutual agreement. If you agree to this at the beginning, then it's okay. You cannot complain. But if you go to a restaurant and you're not expected to pay something, and then suddenly there's something on your bill, just where is this coming from? Do you have the right to object to it? The answer is yes. Is it recommended to allow returns if there is nothing wrong with the product, or should a fee be charged? It's up to you. You could do a full return, basically like do a full iqala. Or you could make sure that if it's open, you get, for example, 70%. If it's not open, then you get the full refund, for example. It depends. Is it recommended to return a product if you no longer need it? Like you're borrowing it from Walmart? Yeah. Look, usually these big stores, they allow this policy. So honestly, if they allow you to return something after using it, I'll stay quiet about it. And don't think that they lose, because they already had the money when you purchased that, and the money is already circulating into their accounts. So they're already making their riba off of it, unfortunately, and profit. So if the policy allows it, then it's allowed. Is it haram to be a makeup artist and to sell makeup? No, I mean, what is haram is if you're going to be doing it online, which defies the whole purpose of hijab to begin with. And you're going to be doing it online, exposing everything online. But if you're doing it for private parties, for private, you know, kind of like gatherings, that's different. It's okay. So how does one differentiate between the fitrah and cognitive biases, or maybe even groupthink, when you ask others about a statement? It's a fair statement, like, you know, because if everybody's thinking the same way and you already have your own understanding of being Muslim against, let's say, specific culture, for example, so how is that considered fit right now? Well, I hope that your group thinking as a Muslim basically is based off of the fitrah. I hope so. But if it's not, and the ummah usually doesn't agree altogether to something haram, you'll always find someone who would be an outlier, says, you know what, that's wrong. If the whole ummah agreed to something, it should be good. If they cannot agree on something, that's haram. Wallahu alam. So from the ulama of hadith today, I have heard of some modern ulama that find some weakness in some hadith in books of sunnah of the past, like al-Bukhari and such and such. Is there a way in this, and how should we work with these cases? Or is it not valid to take from these opinions about the Bukhari and so on? Well, there has already been established a previous ijma' from the whole ummah about al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Not saying that they're not humans, they are humans. But there's an ijma', collective ijma' among the ulama that these are authentic narrations. Could that be some narrations might be questionable? Yes, but overall it's settled already. And that's it, has been accepted as part of the full narrations as well too, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So I would disregard criticism given to Bukhari and Muslim from that perspective. Other books of hadith, the ulama did not put stipulation like Bukhari and Muslim put in their books. So yeah, there might be some weak narrations there, yeah. That should be okay. How would you know that your fitrah is not corrupted by society, so your own moral compass is not reliable? Ilm, knowledge. Once again, we said the fuel of your fitrah and your insight is proper knowledge. And the proper knowledge comes from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The more you are equipped with that knowledge, the more, alhamdulillah, your fitrah will be aligned with that which is right. Is it permissible to give different prices of product to different people based on their background? Like when you go shopping in the Middle East, right? If they know that you have an accent, okay, this is an American. So they give you a different price. And by the way, I've even seen it in restaurants, seriously, in restaurants. And in Turkey, as a matter of fact, I've saw restaurants, you know, when you that you're a foreigner, they give you a menu. When you're local, they give a different menu. So what's the difference? It's the same thing, but the price is different. So when the locals, they pay the local price. But you have to pay the tourist price, yani. Permissible, is that permissible Islamically speaking? I mean, that's part of the being unethical. I cannot say it's haram, but that's part of the ihsan, if you remember. So there's adil, there's fairness, there's graciousness. So that's part of the being gracious, that you're going to have to be fair with everybody. So is it okay to return used product, for example, let's say you buy on a specific platform, and usually they get you 30 days and you use it and then you want to send it back. Is that ethical? If their policy allows it, you're fine. If you follow a common and credible fatwa that is ultimately incorrect, will you be sinful? Sinful if you know that's already actually incorrect. If you already know that's incorrect and you're still following it, then yeah, you are, because you know that you're following something wrong. But if you don't, and it's considered a valid fatwa, well, honestly, I don't know, but the Sheikh said, so I'm just following his opinion, then it should be fine. But if you already know it's wrong, then you should avoid it. So regarding nasiha lil muslimin, I expect our fair treatment in business applies towards Muslims and non-Muslims. Why does nasiha lil muslimin specify Muslims specifically? Because the speaker was a Muslim. Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah speaks in the Muslim community, to the Muslim crowd, so he says nasiha lil muslimin. So yeah, basically for your brothers and sisters in the community, that's what it means. So what about services in terms of pricing? Does everything taught today apply to services? Like, for example, what if you believe you have a superior service as an expert? Can you charge 400 when others are selling the service for 100? Of course. You value your service, you value your knowledge, you value your expertise, you value your time. So that's your price for it. It's up to you. If people want to sell it for $100, that's fine. If you believe, no, I'm not going to sell it for that, I'm not going to occupy my time for the same price, it's okay. And again, people have the option and the khayar to come to you or somebody else. You're not like you're holding a monopoly or something, and essential. In regards to ihtikar, which is monopoly at the level of international trade, would the same hukum apply for Muslim countries to do so to gain an advantage over non-Muslim countries? Now, that's a very general question. It really depends on the circumstances. Again, it depends on the circumstances, because the Prophet ﷺ, he did sometimes actually try to tighten the flow of products and items into the society, so into the Meccan and so on. He did that, salawatullahi wa sallam. So it really depends on the situation. So disclosing defects versus offering buyer to inspect. What if you know that the defect cannot be easily found? Is it a responsibility on the seller to still disclose? The answer is yes. If you know that the mechanic is not going to find it, then what's the point of selling to the mechanic? The whole idea of selling to the mechanic to give him the opportunity to find it for himself, yani. Women love to beautify places. It makes us feel good and peaceful. Can we sell home decor, wedding decor, party decor? We didn't say it's haram. You can do that if you want to, that's fine, inshallah ta'ala. But Imam Ibn Qudama, he says, look, and don't be too excessive in beautifying this world and this dunya. Make sure to, whatever trade that you have value to the akhirah as well too. But it's permissible, yani. Our deen encourages us not to make the business our own focus. But what about that having and owning successful business makes a stronger and more powerful community in this day and age? Of course, you need to be successful. But that business is in your hand, not in your heart. If it goes into your heart, that's it, you're ruined. But if it's in your hand, you can still control, alhamdulillah, how much time, how much effort, how much, involvement. You still have, alhamdulillah, control over. Don't let it control you. Surah Al-Layl. I want to ask her about the second surah, Surah Al-Layl. Surah Al-Shams and Surah Al-Layl. Wallahu ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.